Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Hebrews 10, verses 19. And I want just to challenge you for a new year for discipleship. All right? If we're ever to grow our faith, we've got to be challenged to disciple one another and disciple each other. Encourage. I want you to encourage these young people. Appreciate them doing this. But in chapter 10, starting with verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for the scripture. And Lord, as it says, let us challenge one another and grow during this next year. We give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Hebrews is always encouraging to me. I love the chapter of Hebrews, especially from 10. It says it challenges us to draw near God. 11, chapter 11, is without faith it's impossible to please God. Those two scriptures are some of my favorites. And then 12, it says, "Let us run with encouragement," or endurance, the race that is set before us. And then it finishes out in verses chapter 13, continue with brotherly love. Now, we want to look at challenges for a new year. And the challenge is, one, to worship. To worship God this next year. That's what we need to do. God has opened up us a way that we can come to the very presence of God. Over in the Old Testament, the high priest would continually offer the sacrifices for the people. But it says, therefore, and you go back and look what it's there for, Christ has already done on the cross. He says, now we can come boldly through the throne of Christ, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it says, let us, in verse 22, let us draw near. Let us draw near. You know, because of Christ, he's taken our sins, and our sins have been crucified on the cross. And we can go to God and approach God through our prayer life. True worship simply draws near to God. Now, I wonder how many of us draw near to God every day. Folks, that's what we need to attempt to do in this next year. Worship is getting with God, drawing near to God, entering into his presence, whether it's songs like this or songs in the hymnal. It's simply getting our minds and our lives to focus on the very presence of God and draw closer to God, draw near to God. On the basis of the believer's worship, it says, have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. In other words, our heart should be clean and pure. We should have right attitudes. A lot of people don't worship God because they don't have the right attitude. I don't know about you, but when we come to church on Sunday, what do we come for? We come to literally worship God. And I can't do that if I'm mad at my wife or mad at someone else, or we've said something unkind or something like that. Our hearts need to be right with God. And we need to have a right attitude about worship. We need to be clean in our thoughts. We need to have a pure heart, it says here. Draw near to God with a true heart. A true heart. No hypocrisy in our hearts or in our lives. No dishonesty in our hearts or in our lives. You see, When we come to God, we want to worship Him with all the joy, all the gladness that He gives us. So we ought to have an attitude of gladness, an attitude of enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. I love to see our young people enthusiastic. Man, these young people are our next generation in our churches, and we need to encourage them, lift them up. You know, I couldn't sing that song. I couldn't. My mind doesn't think fast enough to get all those words in there. And believe me, I was trying. I was trying to keep up with you. But just because I couldn't get all those words in there doesn't mean that I don't enjoy it. Man, I could listen to Caleb. Dan said to me, that boy's got a good voice. I could listen to him sing those songs, and I knew they was coming from his heart. And therefore, we ought to encourage them to continue on and instead of discourage people. And I hope and pray that you'll encourage not only the young people, but the older people too. We ought to enter into this sanctuary to give God His praise, whether it's through the music or the instruments or the pianos on Sunday morning. You know, give God all the glory. I know when we hear them sing and we hear the instruments play, and we a lot of times stand and we'll clap. And some people say that they don't like that clapping because you're giving glory to them instead of God. But no, I think you give God the glory too if you're in the right attitude, because it belongs to God. We're to be a joyful people, and we are to feel free to come and enter into His presence and draw near to Him because of the mighty, wonderful work that Christ did on the cross. He's the only one, you know, worthy of our worship. Only one. Draw near simply means get close to God. Get close to God. Man, I come in this evening, I was driving in, and I told Brother Danny, but when I drove in, I told my wife too, I said, look at that sky yonder. Only God could do that. If you didn't see it, it was a beautiful pink across that dark background of blue. The sun was shining on it. Only God's light can create something like that. Man might try to copy it, but, you know, only God can do that. And you can praise Him in the sky just to worship, knowing that our God, the God who created that, created us, and He loves us. And I thought, man, He's painted me a beautiful picture just as I come to church tonight. And I come here to serve Him. You see, everyone worships something or someone. Why not worship God? I don't want you to worship your careers. There's a lot of people worship their careers more than they do God. Or their material possessions that they have more than God. Or pleasure more than God. But Christians ought to worship God more than anything else, because He has made a way for us. He's made a way for us to have eternal life. He's made a way for us to have joy. On the basis of what Christ has done, let's worship Him this next year. Let's put everything else aside and say, I'm going to worship God every time I come to church. Every time I pick up my Bible, I'm going to just worship Him in His words. With a full assurance, it says, with a full assurance of faith, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way we can get to heaven. You know, also, when we worship God, it takes away our worries, don't it? It takes away our worries. Now, many people come and their life is bound up with worries. We're the worrisome bunch of people I've ever seen. You know, we worry. Some of you are worried about next week, aren't you? Already. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's going to come and go. No matter how bad you worry about it, it's going to come and it's going to go. Problems overwhelm us in life. No wonder people have so many heartaches and backaches and toothaches and headaches and all kinds of aches. We're the achingest bunch of people I've ever seen. You know why we ache? We carry around the burden of the world upon our shoulders all week long. And God says, cast your every care upon Him. He will take care of those things. Have you ever climbed up on a mountain? I never will forget. My brother, y'all didn't know him. He passed away years before I came here, or the year I came here, I guess. Same year I came here. We took vacations together. We worked together for 12 years, day in, day out, and we were pretty close together. And we took vacations together, my wife and I and him and his wife, and we went up on Colorado, up in Colorado. What we like to do is go up to the passes and just get on the very top of the pass, as high as you can get, close as you can get to God, I guess, unless you're in a jet plane. But Cottonwood Pass, how many of you ever been to Cottonwood Pass? Oh, man, y'all just hadn't lived till you gone to Cottonwood Pass. It's one of them passes that don't have a paved road up it. It's one of those passes that when we went in my father's car, you don't tell him you went up it in his car. I said, you want to go up Cottonwood Pass? He said, might as well, ain't our car. So off we went. And it's one of them, it turns into dirt, it turns into rock, and then you just keep going up there. We got up on top of that class, on that divide, way up there. And then Kent says, let's just run up that ridge. Well, at that time, we were running up the ridge because we were thin and lean, mean, running machines at that time. Now, I kind of like George Foreman's grill. Now I've got the fat, and the lean, mean is done run. But let me tell you something. I never will forget my brother. He got up there on the highest peak. He'd run up there a good ways and ahead of me, and he stood up on that mountain, you know, like that. He just seemed like he's close to God. And when you're up on that mountain, you're looking down into the valley as far as you can see. Everything down there looks so small, and you look so big. But when you get down there with all that, you look so small, and everything else looks so big. As long as you're on top of the mountain, everything looks so small. As long as you are on Christ and on His shoulders, everything looks so small. I recommend this year, you get on Christ's shoulders. You let Him carry you through the problems and through the valleys and over the mountains. And all your worries, you turn them over to Him. They'll look so much smaller than they really are, you see. And He will take care of them. He's not just the way, He is the only way. And we are to worship Him and draw close to Him, knowing the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with pure water, clean, true heart, looking from His side, His perspective. Folks, I think we just need to worship God when we come into the doors. We ought not worry about what else is going on. Just God. Just God. We get things in the right perspective, you know. We lose sight of the right perspective in life, and we get into the worldly things. And we need to get our lives back in the right perspective and get our values straight again. And you know what we need to do? We ought to put everything aside except what God tells us to do. Reach the lost. Live a life that is pleasing to Him, and reach the lost people. Everywhere we go, that ought to be our goal. Is there somebody here today that I can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with? When you put that perspective on the number one list of your daily activities, let me tell you something. When you are thinking about reaching the lost, everything else around you is going to be real small. Because that's what Christ tells us to do. Go tell. All through the Bible, he says, go tell. Go tell what? Go tell lost people about the gospel. Then I think the next thing we ought to do is think about missions. Starting missions, doing mission work, sharing that gospel with people. And then the third thing, think about how God has blessed us. Not all the bad things that happen, but the good things that God has done in our life. And then before long, the values in our life will be back in the right order again. We'll have the right perspective. Thank God for his marvelous work that he has done in our lives. So let me challenge you this next year. One, to draw near in worship to God. Draw near in him with a pure heart. Then the second thing I want to challenge you to do is get inspired by God. Look what it says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let us hold fast without wavering. The threat to believers today is we waver. We're tossed to and fro. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And one reason we're double-minded is we don't know the Word of God very well. So get inspired by the Word of God. Don't be discouraged by the things of the world. Don't listen to the voices of the world. Don't listen to the doubts that come along that the old devil throws at you. Remember, the Bible says God is faithful. Look what it says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised, that is God, is faithful. He is faithful to keep every promise he's made in his word. He's faithful. Someone said this morning, he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's true. He's never going to do that. He's always with us wherever we go. Don't listen to the ridicule. There's a lot of people that want to ridicule you or tear you down or discourage you. Don't listen to the unbelief that comes through there. Have faith in God who promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. Faith, you know, we take that a lot of times as a luxury item. It's not. We are what we believe. We do what we believe. And what we believe determines how we behave. Think about what you believe this next year. Think about what God has done for us. You know what? Rhonda asked what she wanted to do. What we wanted to do for our Christmas. And we didn't do a whole lot of anything for Christmas, but we went to a picture show. First time we'd been to show in about 2 years now. And we went to see the show Unbroken. Many of y'all saw that last night, I guess. It was full of people. And some of you were there. But you know what I thought? He was a prisoner of war in the Japanese prison camp there. And what did they try to do? They tried to break him. They really tried to break him. At one point, they told him that his friend had died. Why did they tell him that? To break his mind. Then at another point, they got all the prisoners there and they told him President Roosevelt or Truman had died. Which one was it? Roosevelt, yeah. Died. Ron said, why did they tell him that? I said, they're trying to break them down. Anything they can do to break them down. Well, let me tell you something. The world will ridicule you. The world will try to break your faith down. It'll try to tear you apart so you won't be encouraged. But we do have something to believe, you know? Here's what I believe. I believe in God who created the heavens and the earth. I believe that he's able to do that, whether it's 6 days or 6 hours or 1 minute. I believe God can do that. I believe in a God who died for my sins upon the cross of Calvary. I believe that He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. I believe that. I believe He dwells within us every single day. And I also believe that we have a hope that when we die, we have a place prepared by Him. And we will go to that place. Man, I believe that with all my heart. I'm not going to let the world determine what I believe. Some people will tell you today it's all a hoax. Man, I'd rather believe that. I'd rather put my hope in Christ Jesus every single day. And one day, if He wasn't real, find out that I had lived a life, a good life, believing and putting my faith in Christ. I'd rather do that. And find out one day if it's not real that I've still lived a good life. But like Brother Perry said one time in the Sunday school class, if you live a life that's not for Christ and you die and find out He is real, what are you going to do? No hope whatsoever. Folks, we have a hope in Christ Jesus. So let us hold fast, the Bible says, that profession of faith in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. Shakings, have you ever been shook? There's shakings that are going to go on in your life. I was shook. There's been some shakings in our life. I think there's been shakings in just about everyone's life. You know what a shaking is when trouble comes your way. Everybody in here has had some problems, haven't we? Everybody's in here had someone that you loved pass away, and it just hits you all at once. But do you overcome it? Yes, you overcome. You overcome because of who Christ is. And man, let me tell you something. I overcame a lot of shakings because I had Christian brothers and friends who stood beside me and lifted me up in prayer. You know, like we said this morning, in the hour of grief, the only thing you know, if you're standing there all alone, man, it's tough. But just have a friend standing there beside you is a whole lot to know that somebody cares. So let me challenge you this year to worship God and get inspired by God about what you believe. And then lastly, I'm going to challenge you to love one another in order to stir up the love and good works in your heart, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Let's challenge each other to fellowship with each other. Fellowship. Let us consider, it says, one another. We are brothers in Christ. We're part of the same family. Did you know that? We may not sing the same songs, but we sing about the same God. This young man is my brother in Christ. He's part of my family. I want to lift him up. I want to encourage him to keep on keeping on. No matter what happens, just keep on praising God. Because you know what? We're partners in the same mission. You see? We're members of the same body. Why would I want to criticize our youth? Or why would I want to criticize our adults? We're one together. Provoke love, it says, and good works. Look out for each other. Somebody says something bad about you, you take up for them. You see? Look out for each other. You help. You know what? I've got twin brothers. They get along about like two bulldogs. But they will take up for each other. They may fight each other, but when it comes down to push or shove, they'll take up for each other. I don't understand it, but they're brothers. You just don't understand brothers too much. But you help your family members, don't you? You ought to. Well, you are part of my family. and I'm a part of your family. And we ought to help each other this next year. We ought to lift one another up in prayer. And we ought to want to be around each other. I don't know about you, but, you know, I like being around you. I come on Sunday morning to see you. It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Encourage one another. Encourage of the highest kind. Encourage each other to live the type of life. You know, we like to find somebody doing something wrong and run them down. We ought to try to lift them up out of that. Encouragement of the right kind. And the church is really the only place that I know that you can encourage one another to live right in a godly way. Encourage one another. When you see somebody doing something that's not right, don't fuss at them. Just say, hey, you know what? I don't think that's very godly. And let's try it. Let's don't do that. I found out that this ain't very pleasing to God, and I don't want to do that. But come together to encourage, come together to inspire one another, it says, to the highest living. To the highest living. To able to overcome and withstand temptation. Because let me tell you something, temptation's all out there. Churches are falling apart at the seams, seem like. Am I the only one that notices that? I don't think so. I look around at some of our churches and I see the bickering and the fighting and what's going on, and I say, Lord, this has to be the end times, because there is a great falling away in our churches and what we believe. You know, coming together to encourage and to inspire is what makes church worthwhile. Get a right perspective on the way we live and live that kind of life. So let me challenge you to discipleship this next year and draw near to God in worship. Every time you come into the doors, worship. Think about worshiping God, praying God. You know, I never will forget. We've done a lot over our lifespan. I never thought life would be quite like this. Never would see the places that we've seen and do the things we've seen, and meet the people that we've seen over the years. But we've met our in-laws, the Korean people, Zach's father-in-law, and I never will forget when they come in to that back door back there. This was the place that you worship God. And before they did anything, they bowed and prayed. And I thought, man, we could learn a lot from them. And I was asked, how come you don't pray? You know what? I didn't have an answer. I didn't have an answer. And I thought, how come I don't pray? How come I don't worship God like that? When we enter into His sanctuary, this is His sanctuary. We're His sanctuary. Hold fast your profession of faith. Find out what you believe. I hope you believe those things that I mentioned. Hold on to those things. Don't let anybody change you from those things. Man, we are the bride of Christ. Be a pure bride. And then consider each other in love. Each other in love. Don't hurt one another's feelings. Just love one another. I challenge you to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior and to live that type of life this next year. The Word of God challenges us in this scripture to live according to what God wants us to live, with a pure heart, with hope for tomorrow, joy for tomorrow. Would you do that? Think about it and pray about it and live for Christ this next year. win people to Christ. Challenge yourself to tell somebody about the gospel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, as our society, as our world drifts further and further away, Lord, may we drift closer and closer to you. Lord, let our hearts be pure. Let our thoughts be pure. Let our words be pure and actions, that we might draw near to you, that we might draw closer together as a family as the day approaches. Lord, that we might be found in your righteousness. We give you honor and praise tonight, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.